The Web's Michael Smith. It is episode 145 of Kane's Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
We might not have enough words to describe this one. We do know somebody who would have had all of the words, and that is the now retiring voice of the NHL on NBC, Mike Doc Emrick. He's going to call it a career. We're going to talk about that. But a man who had 8,000 ways to say how a puck exited a zone or was sent behind the net. Truly for, I mean, let's face it, this hockey generation, the American voice of hockey.
Yeah, so without a doubt. I wonder what word he would have used to describe Storm Brew.
Crispy.
Exactly.
The only word that you need, because Storm Brew is the official sponsor of this podcast, Kane's Cast.
And it's the official beer of the Carolina Hurricanes at just 97 calories and 2.4 carbs per serving. It's the perfect brew for all occasions. It's brewed by our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's crushable. It's crispy. It's delicious. And we enjoy them as often as we can.
It's also findable at all of your local grocery stores. If they don't have it, ask for it by name. That is Storm Brew from R&D Brewing. And not only that, you can find any of their other fine beverages like Seven Saturdays. If you like IPAs, you'll like that one. But we always thank our good friends at R&D for sponsoring Kane's Cast and, of course, for creating a crispy, crushable beer that all of our sports fans can agree on is going to make your viewing pleasure that much better. Storm Brew.
Thank you.
And we also say thank you to Manscaped, who, and time is running out.
Yes.
And when we say that, we're not lying.
No.
You can trust us. Time's running out to save 20% and get free shipping on your order at manscaped.com. Because here, you want to stay clean and take care of yourself where it matters most. And that's where our friends at Manscaped come in.
They have the perfect package 3.0. It comes with the new and improved lawnmower 3.0, which it took 18 months for Manscaped's engineers to come up with his new design, and it is absolutely the best trimmer that you will have on the market, bar none. But also in the perfect package 3.0 comes the cordless body trimmer, performance boxer briefs, which
very soft.
Yeah, very soft, movable,
breathable.
Exactly. Plus a travel bag when you are able to go out and travel again.
Yeah.
Plus, the crop preserver and the crop reviver make you feel a little bit fresh, feel a little bit better.
Yeah, so don't waste any more time because, again, time is running out to save money and get free shipping.
20% off.
All you need to do is use promo code Canes at checkout. To get 20% off and free shipping, use promo code Canes at manscaped.com. That's
promo code Canes.
For what?
At manscaped.com for any of your purchases.
This hockey season, upgrade your blue line and choose Manscaped for your most important male grooming needs.
Thank you.
You should be thanking us.
Yes.
Just saying. So we'll get into that. The hockey season now, we don't know when the off season is, when it's going to end.
Yeah, what is this? It's October 19th.
But it feels like July 17th.
Yeah. Feels sure. Like the depths of the offseason where signings sort of trickle in, and the Hurricanes have a batch of restricted free agents that they're working to get under contract.
Yep. We are closing in on arbitration, though, on some of those free agents. And, you know, this is going to be unusual because I think in years past, players and teams really want to avoid arbitration.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to it. But I think with a flat cap, I think this year players might be more willing to go through arbitration and see the presentation that the team has. And arbitration, it sounds like a just awful thing.
Yes.
Because the team has to basically present a case of why they shouldn't pay a player money. And then the player needs to come back and say, this is why you need to pay me money, because I'm like this guy. And if you don't view me as this, well, then where are we as a group and an organization? That's where arbitration gets, for lack of a better term for everybody who's out there, gets a little hairy.
Heyo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, I think we're going to see more players go to arbitration this year because arbitration over the years has been friendlier to the players than it has been to the teams as far as doling out raises and looking at comps. And this year, it's like there's no comeback. if the arbitrator says this is what the number is, this is what the number is, you can only get a 1 or a 2 year deal off of arbitration. The team has to accept the first year or walk away. So if a team walks away from an RFA who's gone to arbitration, that restricted free agent becomes an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, and the Hurricanes currently have 3 restricted free agents scheduled on the arbitration hearing calendar: Gustav Forsling on November 2nd, Warren Fogle on November 4th, and Hayden Fleury on November 8th, which is the last day of arbitration hearings. The hope, obviously, for the organization is that,
done before that,
especially with Fogle and Fleury, you get it done before that. Clark Bishop had elected arbitration, but the Hurricanes re-signed him to a 1-year two-way deal last week. The Hurricanes signing a handful of free agents in the last week, Clark Bishop among them, also Spencer Smallman and Steven Lorenz, 2 depth options. Steven Lorenz, I think, is one that really does intrigue me.
Yeah.
Because he went to the Toronto bubble with the Hurricanes, didn't get into a playoff game, but he has good size, skilled winger who had a breakout season in the AHL, and I think he could be, if not this year, perhaps next, a very intriguing option for the Hurricanes in the bottom six. So I'm keeping an eye on him when it comes to training camp this year. We can maybe take a look at the lines and see potentially where he would fit in. He'd have to, I think, beat out a couple of roster mainstays here for the last couple of seasons at least. But an intriguing option as the Hurricanes move forward. And he, of course, agreed to a 2-year, two-way contract. So looking ahead, he could definitely be an option. And then the Hurricanes also bringing in a trio of depth forwards: Jeremy Bracco, David Gust, and Sheldon Rimpal. You'll probably recognize Gust. He played last season on an AHL deal with the Charlotte Checkers. And Jeremy Bracco is an interesting one as well because he finished second in the AHL in points and assists 2 seasons ago. So a lot of skill there. A lot of depth for the Hurricanes and some talent and skill for the Chicago Wolves.
Yeah, and I'm with you on some of the intriguing names or nature of some of the signings. Like Steven Lorenz, this is a 7th-round draft pick from 2015. So if he can be a player and the way he's worked himself into the organization, into a role, a viable role in that bottom six or the third or fourth line for the Canes, that's where you've got to find these players. You've got to find depth in those rounds that at least push talent to stay or push somebody who's there to continue to evolve their game. There's been a lot of talk about like how quiet the Canes have been, though, this offseason as far as free agency goes. The only big splash is Jesper Fast, who joined us on the Canes cast.
And who dropped some knowledge about Swedish pizza, which we have to learn more about.
I did a small dive, a deep dive into Swedish pizza.
Ooh.
And it basically, they just treat the pizza crust as like, it's bread, and we can put whatever we want on it.
the pizza crust, the bread is the canvas.
Exactly.
And then they throw whatever
paint they want on it. Sounds like a marvelous place to be and live.
We're going to dive deeper into that at some point in the near future.
Sure. Not right now, because if we did,
this is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
Would not have a 5-star review for this podcast for us.
No, he's probably in the midst of texting us now, actually.
But back to absolutely in 3, 2, and 1.
And there it is. But Bill, look at our mentions from the last week. It's all about Swedish pizza. So we're just playing to the audience here.
He wants us to stay in our lane.
All right, so we'll get back in our lane.
I'm going back into our lane.
Yeah.
But I think this is what we talked about even before free agency and everything else. The Canes are at this point, Michael, of I think they like their group, and there's no reason to go out and do anything splashy because they feel that the pieces are there. When you look up front, you know, sure, it'd be great to say, let's add Taylor Hall, who already signed with Buffalo. Yeah, it would have been great to add a left winger who can score, and then, you know, now you have these 2 lines that can go there. But the Canes believe that they have the pieces that can drive this team further without having to go out and spend $8 million on a piece.
Yeah, they don't have $8 million, not without clearing some
exactly
cap space.
But they're looking at their top six is, you can always challenge, you can always improve and look to improve, and that doesn't mean that the organization is just sitting on their hands right now. There are still a ton of free agents who are out there. And I think what might happen, one, a lot of guys are waiting for when does the season start, but two, who are my options? Where can I go play? Who's looking for this kind of winger or that kind of depth defenseman or whatever position we want to talk about? The only position that really seemed to get scooped up early in free agency was goaltending, because there were a ton out there, and now there's nobody left.
Yeah.
It seems like. But as far as what the Canes are looking at, when people want to know, well, what's their offseason plan, just continue to stay the course. You know, they haven't gone out and made any huge free agent signings, anything super splashy the last few years. And I don't expect them to, because this is a group that has started to grow up together, that understands what they need to do to continue to get better. The splashiest, most, I would say, eyebrow-raising free agent signing this team has made was, what, three seasons ago when Justin Williams signed from Washington to here. Yeah. But that was a culture change, and the team knew what they were getting by bringing him in. The front office at the time knew what they were bringing in. The assistant coach at the time, who's now the head coach, knew what they were bringing in Justin Williams. And those are the pieces that the Canes look to bring in right now, because I think you've got your goal scorers. You'd love to get a little bit more out of certain players who are under contract. Like, can Nino Niederreiter be that guy who scores between 25 and 35 goals for this team? If he does that, the Canes are going to be a force in the Metro Division.
Yeah.
But there's also not a lot as, again, looking to the future, where you've got to pay Andrei Svechnikov and you've got to pay Dougie Hamilton. If you want to keep these guys in Canes uniforms for a while, you can't all of a sudden go out and throw a bunch of money at a luxury that you're not really sure how he fits in with this group right now.
Yeah, that's I think one of the biggest questions. And if you look you know, at the forward lines, obviously you mentioned the goaltending carousel really that happened. You know, the goaltenders swapping teams all over the league, kind of a merry-go-round. The Hurricanes opted not to hop on that carousel and you know, take a little ride. They're going to stick with Peter Mrazek and James Reimer, it seems, at least, which is, and you know, we've talked about it before, a perfectly capable duo, a duo that, again, took them to back-to-back playoff this year, got them back to the playoffs for the second year in a row. Peter Mrazek here for both of the playoff runs, obviously. James Reimer, I think, resurrecting his career a little bit after, you know, a not-so-great stint in Florida.
Yeah.
So perfectly capable duo there. The Hurricanes not opting to, you know, go after one of the free agent goaltenders. I think on defense, pretty solid there. Once you re-sign Hayden Fleury, you're kind of locked into six, even seven defensemen who are very capable and honestly, you know, one of the best, I think, six that the league has to offer. But then you look at the forward lines, and Jesper Foss, who, again, we spoke to last week, is a perfect complement for the Hurricanes' bottom six. I think is going to fit well on a line with Jordan Staal and perhaps Warren Fogle, if you want to look at a third line, checking line that's perhaps going to match up with the other team's best. I think, few areas that the Hurricanes could now target for improvement would be on that second line and finding a winger to play alongside Vincent Trocheck and, in all likelihood, Martin Necas. Does Nino Niederreiter step up into that position? Does Ryan Dezingel step up into that position? Or is there someone on the market who could better fit that role? Now, if there is someone on the market that's that maybe makes more sense, you know, Mike Hoffman is a name that's still out there. But I think, you know, especially when you look at what Taylor Hall signed for, 1 year, $8 million. Hoffman might command, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, I would say $5 to $8 million if he's going to sign a 1 year deal.
He made $5.1 million last year.
Yeah. So if the Hurricanes wanted to explore an option like that, then you have to move someone out because the cap space just isn't going to work. We kind of touched on it before free agency, is that the Hurricanes just don't have a lot of cap space this summer to make a huge splashy move. If they were to do anything, it's more likely going to be attainable through a trade, you know, or if they make a signing, again, a trade's going to have to be made to move a piece out and clear some cap space. So, you know, when you look at what the Hurricanes did, again, not a whole lot, but little tweaks. I think Jesper Fast is a great addition to the team. I think he fits exactly the style of play that the Hurricanes excel in, that Rod Brind'Amour wants to see from his club. And we'll see if anything else happens. I mean, free agency after that first day, after that first weekend kind of dies down a bit. And then you see some signings happen later in the month. And you never know. You never know what could happen.
Look, we could talk about the names that are out there and who's available and how they fit within the Carolina Hurricanes. But said earlier, Michael Smith just said it, once unrestricted free agency gets over that first push, that first surge when the doors open up and you can sign these guys, it gets quiet. And remember, a lot of these teams, they're waiting for, when's the season going to start? What's it going to look like? What's our team really going to look like to go from here? And the Canes have set themselves up with enough of this depth in the organization where they don't have to go out and spend a ton of money to go make this team better, to find a missing piece. They're looking for, maybe the missing piece is already here. We just got to get a little bit more out of it. And a lot of teams do that, but if this team does get better, though, Michael, I think it would be via trade, not free agency.
There's only $5 million and change of cap space left. Still got to sign Hayden Fleury. Still have to sign Warren Fogle. That'll eat up a little chunk there. Doesn't leave you a lot of room to you know, make a signing without making some sort of move to go along with it. So we'll see what happens. Some names still out there, but again, I look to guys like Nino Niederreiter and Ryan DeZingle as players who I think are more than talented enough to fill that role, but both of whom maybe didn't have, you know, the best year, and you know, would like to, you know, step back up and contribute the way that their skill sets probably say they can. And especially for a guy like Ryan DeZingle, who is heading into the last season of his 2-year contract, going to be an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season, this could be a chance for him to really state his case as a top 6 winger in the National Hockey League.
Well, another name that I believe that we have pretty much stayed silent on when we talk about the Canes and where's scoring going to come from, about Marty Natchez.
Yeah.
And let's see him develop and grow this year and what will align with Vincent Trocheck and Martin Natchez, and then take your pick on the other winger. That other winger should benefit from how those two play. So there's a lot to get into for the Carolina Hurricanes in this offseason as it continues to move. And when we say there's a lot to get into, we can unpack why they should or didn't make any of these moves just based on how they're set up right now. But I don't think that you can have too much of an issue with what this team has done or hasn't done via free agency. And same thing at the draft. I think everybody was expecting the draft to be this flurry of trades and players moving back and forth, and there's a flat cap and the specter of the expansion draft with Seattle, and all this is going to happen. And I think everybody kind of learned from the Vegas expansion, we're not going to give away picks just to protect players. We're not going to do anything really silly as far as salaries go and contracts go for unrestricted free agents, because we know that we're dealing with a cap that's not going to move for a couple of seasons in the NHL. So if you feel you got a team that is on target to continue to get better, there's no reason to tinker with it or take it apart to bring in another piece. The teams that have to tinker are the ones that either feel that they've got like one last year left on their window and this player is going to get us over the hump, or teams that need to be totally rebuilt, and that's why they're spending money in free agency or they made certain moves.
Yeah. I like a lot of what Buffalo did, you know, acquiring Eric Staal, signing Taylor Hall. Their top six is pretty solid. Kevin Adams, of course, former Hurricane, first season as GM, making some moves.
Oh, the Taylor Hall deal, just for us to look at it and talk about it, I think it's a smart deal for Taylor Hall for one reason. He didn't exactly have the greatest offensive season this year in Arizona.
Right.
He's going to go play with one of the top young centers in the game in Jack Eichel. He's going to score if we're saying 82 games for the season, and we don't know that, but he's going to score a lot of goals playing on the wing for Jack Eichel. He just is. And he's betting on himself for 1 year that he's going to score a lot of those goals, and then that's 1 year closer to watching the cap move up, get out of this flat cap that we keep talking about in the NHL, and then he can get that big deal that he wants somewhere.
Colorado did a lot of good things as well. Joe Sakic.
It's unbelievable.
Couple of former players.
It's unbelievable how that organization, with what Joe Sakic has done with Colorado a few years ago, with why aren't you trading Matt Duchene? Why aren't you trading Matt Duchene? To now, how did they do this?
Right.
Folks, just watch. They signed all of their young stars early. The deals that they have, players like Nathan MacKinnon on, and they jumped in front of the, yeah, we'll give you these deals. You're going to take a little less money, but we'll give you the term. And now they're set up, and they can just add all of these pieces.
Right, without sacrificing long-term.
Anything.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Liked a lot of what they did, liked a lot of what Buffalo did. The Metropolitan Division, I think, as a whole, I mean, every season it's going to be one of the strongest in the NHL.
Yeah.
Especially because you have teams that do like to spend to the cap. And, you know, let's be honest, the Hurricanes are now one of those teams because they spent almost to the cap last season. They're going to be right up near the cap again this season. So, you know, the Hurricanes are among those teams now that can that say they can spend to the cap. And you almost have to in the Metropolitan Division when you have some of these teams that have the money to spend and attract those high value, high target free agents. The Rangers got better, obviously, but through the draft is one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be another competitive season in one of the most competitive divisions. What I'll be interested to see is honestly how the divisions shake out, because if you have to realign for a season and put all the Canadian teams in one division, the Hurricanes Metro division might get a little shakeup. That's a whole other discussion to have, but the Hurricanes, I think, are set up to compete, whether it's in the Metro or in the East or, you know, whatever the division ends up being. I think the Hurricanes, when you look at the team they had last year, the small tweaks you make to that team in this offseason, everyone coming back a year better, a year stronger. Martin Natchez can take another step in his second season. Andrei Svechnikov is going to take a step in his third season.
Absolutely.
Dougie Hamilton, hopefully he stays healthy for the whole season because he was on track for Norris consideration, if not the Norris Trophy itself, would have been an all-star. So you have, you know, all these pieces and, you know, at the top, head coach Rod Brind'Amour leading the squad. There's no one else, I think, more capable to lead this team. And I think they're ready to take that next step. I think now, you know, the Hurricanes have had two good years of playoff hockey, of playoff experience, of knowing what it takes. And now I think this team could be poised to take that next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Although it's funny, you talk about teams and moves you like or don't like. The Toronto Maple Leafs have made a bunch of moves. One that I don't know if it's a head scratcher or not, but I kind of like it because I like the league when Joe Thornton is in it. And yeah. I don't know what his role is going to be in Toronto. Toronto likes to bring in their veterans. You got a 41-year-old center who's probably going to be your fourth-line center. But here's a guy who can come in that locker room, veteran presence, command that respect of the room, and just go and play, not have to be the star. And I still think he's got a little bit of hockey left in him.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think he has some... I certainly think he has a little bit of high. If he's playing 12 minutes a night or whatever, you stick him in front of the net on the power play or, you know, whatever the Maple Leafs decide to do with him. He's got a little bit of hockey left in him.
Yeah.
And that's, you're kind of seeing, you know, Jaromir Jagr played, you know, well. And is he still playing in Russia?
It wouldn't surprise me if he's still playing. I think he's still playing in the Czech League.
Yeah.
I think he's still playing.
You can find him somewhere.
Yeah.
He's still playing somewhere.
He owns a team, and then he brought all of his friends to come and play for them, and they're one of the best teams in the league. That's a story I read last year, as I recall.
He'll probably be in the 2022 Olympics, maybe captaining the Czechs.
Good for him, and I am all for that.
Maybe Martin Natchez makes that Czech team in 2022.
A good chance that he could.
It's one to watch.
Trying to see. Yes, he is still playing for Kladno of the Czech Extraliga.
Wow. Still doing it.
Getting it done at 48.
That's the thing. If you can still get it done, which obviously he can do, and Jumbo Joe, I think, can still do. I mean, what a world.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm happy for him. Also, I will echo all of the sentiments you said about the Carolina Hurricanes before I threw in the Joe Thornton comment going to Toronto. You know, just how they're set up with what they have. It's going to be, again, it's going to be a team that's got another step to take this year, but I think they've got a lot of guys who are ready to take it and get them to that next level. Again, I don't look at this past postseason because of everything that went into it, Michael, as getting beat by Boston in the first round as some kind of disappointment. I just looked at it as a team that found its way to win that qualifying series, get in and push Boston around. It wasn't like the Bruins just cracked out the brooms and won every game 4-0. You know, that series was a coin flip in a lot of games. So
yeah. It was just a tough draw. The team with the 7th best record had to face the team with the best record in the NHL in the first round.
But again, were they really the team with the best record? Because we'd taken 3.5 months off for 3 months off, and then you get into it. So, you know, did you want to be whoever was going to get out of that qualifying round and play any of the top four?
Yeah.
You're going to run into a Philly team that was young and has all of this confidence if they did well in their little round robin. The University of Virginia Revenge Tour or Tampa Bay Lightning.
No one was stopping them.
The Washington Capitals, do they want to come back and kind of prove, you know, last year's first round exit was a bit of a fluke? And then the Boston Bruins, which, as you mentioned, had this really good regular season record. It was the best. So anybody who advanced from the qualifying round was going to end up playing a team that was going to be a tough bounce to get anyway in that first round.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Hurricanes roster right now, it's a playoff caliber roster.
It is.
And then what happens in the playoffs is it's sometimes kind of random because of, you know, short series and, you know, Rod Brind'Amour will say the best team will win in a 7-game series, and that's true. But it's tough to it really is tough to predict what's going to happen in the playoffs because things change so quickly. The course of a series can change so quickly. Momentum shifts back and forth. This team is good enough to get to the playoffs, and now it has to figure out how to take the next step to advance further in the playoffs.
Well, look, the goal is to win the Stanley Cup, Michael.
Yes.
Period. Like, that's the goal. That's what it needs to be for every team in the league when you walk in. The goal isn't, oh, let's just have a good season. Oh, let's just get to the playoffs. Oh, let's win a playoff run. The goal for every team should be win the Stanley Cup. But for the overview, where we can talk about it, and for me, I think for years, what the goal of this organization had to be before you can win the Stanley Cup is you have to be a playoff team. Perennially, you have to get into the postseason every year. Not squeak in, not eke in. You have to go into the season going, now the Canes are a playoff team. And that's where this organization is now. In 3 years, they've gone from how are they going to get into the playoffs to how far are they going to get in the playoffs to the guys in that locker room know how are we going to win the Stanley Cup. But overall, they had to be this team that don't just make the playoffs, go on a run, and then disappear for 4 or 5 seasons. You know, you have to be one of these teams that you get into the playoffs, and once you build that core, you can keep going back and figure it out. And this team is figuring it out. They're knocking on the door and they're doing that. And then when you got to the playoffs for all of these years and you made it to the Stanley Cup Finals for 22 years, there was a guy waiting to call those games for NBC and other places. And that was Mike Doc Emmerich, who he called it a career today as it is Monday, October 19th. He is retiring. He is putting the microphone down in the NBC and the NHL on NBC booth. And that's going to open up a lot for a lot of people. And I think you and I both know, fingers crossed for certain names to get the call for there. But for Doc Emmerich, he is one of these guys. He's the voice of a generation. He's the voice of a sport. Like Vin Scully for me is the voice of baseball.
Yep.
For millions of American hockey fans, Mike Emmerich is the voice of the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, his voice is the soundtrack for the greatest moments in Carolina Hurricanes franchise history. That Game 7 here in Raleigh in 2006. Obviously, he called a lot of those playoff games, but you know, when you look back at those moments from that game, Mike Emmerich, Doc, has the call for those. Obviously, Chuck Caton had the radio call, and you know, he had waited a long time, you know, to call those games. But when you look back at the television highlights, it was Mike Emmerich. And let's take a listen to some of those big moments from Game 7.
Bell, raucous anticipation among all these Caniacs down here below us. And further down in the locker rooms, quiet anticipation and some strong leadership. Quick change for Carolina. Now it's coming to the outside. Dropping it back over. Trying to get by now and holding and then feeding it past the line. Pronger tried to move it across. The bouncer to the half boards. Hennigan took a hit. They jam along at the half boards and it came loose. Hennigan knifed it on. Brought back up by Stahl. Given back across to Williams. Score! They have been absolutely relentless. Brindamore with the net. Pronger shrugs it away. The Carolina Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
I get chills listening to that.
Yep. Thanks to NBC, courtesy for us getting access to those calls. But yeah, I mean, that's what great play-by-play voices do.
Yeah.
They know the moment, they take you to the moment, and they don't become bigger than the moment because the moment is what makes it.
Yeah. I thought like the call is, as time ticked down, just, well, first he worked in the word relentless, yes, which I don't, you know, knowing him, that is probably intentional because that was such a key word for the Hurricanes, yep, in that season. But then the Carolina Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup and then just lets the crowd and the horn and just the emotion of the moment take over. I think just makes that moment perfect.
Yeah. And then the setup to it, you know, the raucous Caniacs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sitting in silence, but in anticipation, the players in that room waiting to come out here. That's just poetry. That's what it is. And, I mean, he could just call a game and never use the same word to describe a pass. And I'm telling you, Michael, calling games, trying to do that intentionally or unintentionally, it's darn near impossible.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody's going to have a story, and we're going to talk with Tripp Tracy and Mike Sundheim. Tripp Tracy, of course, color analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes, broadcast partner for yours truly, and Mike Sundheim, the vice president of communications and team services for the Hurricanes, are going to join us with some thoughts on Doc and his career and their dealings with him. I've had a handful of dealings with Doc. I don't know how many times you've come across him in the press box or not.
Not as often, just, you know, would occasionally see him in the locker room or, you know, passing by in the press box, would always say hello, and was super kind, you know, no matter who you were. And that's, I think, a common refrain that you're going to hear is no matter who you were, he was approachable. You could talk to him and he would not only talk to you, but then he would remember you the yep. next time you saw him. He would remember what you discussed and was just a genuinely good human being yep. and one of the best play-by-play voices that you'll ever hear.
I'll give you three quick stories
yes.
of interactions I had with Mike Doc Emmerich. One was at the All-Star game in Atlanta when Eric Stahl won the MVP, but you know, it's the pomp and everything before it and all of the interviews before All-Star Weekend, the festivities, you know how they have it. Well, it used to be different. The players used to have, like, their own station, and you'd go and talk to them. And I'm working for radio. I'm working for The Fan at the time. And I'm down there with my boss, Dave Shore, and he's, you know, he was an NBA guy. So I was kind of like, oh, this is who this is, that is. And Mike Emmerich's just standing along the wall, taking it all in. And I walk up to him and I go, you know, I'm Mr. Emmerich. I was still in my young 30s then. I introduced myself and I said, I'm from Raleigh. And, you know, I do the pre and post around the Hurricanes broadcast. And he goes, oh, you know, Chuck Caton, and breaks into a dynamite Chuck Caton impersonation, like spot on. It's one of those where he's like, well, vis-a-vis questions. So,
crowd noise only.
Yeah, I mean, it was spot on. And so I did the interview with him, and then he drops a bit of a impersonation in that. And it was great. And, you know, it couldn't have taken more than 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And then, you know, when I would see him after that in certain buildings, wherever, he knew my name, which that was, as everybody has pointed out, who's been sharing stories about Mike Emmerich as you're hearing this today or through the course of the day, that's fine. It was amazing to me because how do you know my name? We talked for like 5 minutes and he just knew that. Then last year in Boston in the conference finals, Tripp and I were doing things still for Fox and you know, we were doing the pre and post games around that. And I was back in my reporter role, but I was coming off of doing the radio call of the Canes and the Islanders series. And I now have Mike Emmerich sitting there and he's watching me and Tripp do this hit and he goes, that's a master class. Like he just had, and I'm not nervous about it. I've done it a million times, but he's right there. I'm like, okay, I can pick his brain about play by play. I go over and I'm like, yeah, I got the chance to do that. And you know, I was excited about it. And he goes, yeah. I go, what's the advice? What can you tell me? What do I do now? And he goes, you just tell them what you see. He goes, I just tell people what I see. And it was so simple, yet so brilliant. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to take the time. He could have told me, you know, it's like, figure it out yourself. But no, he shared that bit of information. And then the other one is in the same year. My wife and I, there was a Durham Bulls game. Thank you. We go to a Bulls game. And it was Bark in the Park. Doc is a huge dog fan. So I'm on the concourse, and I'm talking to some people. I know a lot of people with the Bulls. This is before was in her current role where she now works for the Bulls. But Doc is coming by. One more time. She might have just started working for the Bulls at that point in time. Actually, she was. So Doc walks by, and I'm like, hey, Doc. And he goes, oh, hello, Mike. And instead of anything else, you know, I introduce him to my wife, and he goes, hello. And then the next line, because Bark in the Park, they have all the dogs out in the outfield. He goes, did you see all the dogs? It's wonderful. And every time Doc Emmerich comes on TV, my wife... thank you.
Just really getting some good use out of that.
Exactly. So we'll always go, did you see all of the dogs? And he was so thrilled that there were all these dogs, and he was there to, you can pet them. It's amazing. And he said it in Doc Emmerich's voice. So those are three little stories that I have. But he didn't have to stop and take the time. And then what he wanted to talk about was the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, that's just.
Big dog fan.
Huge doggo fan.
Mike Dog Emmerich. Oh, wow.
Doc Emmerich. Will work. But
this is Doc by the numbers, NBC. 3,750, more than 3,750 professional and Olympic hockey games. Wow. 50 seasons covering hockey, 47 seasons broadcasting professional hockey, 45 Stanley Cup playoff game sevens, 22 Stanley Cup finals, 19 NHL Winter Classic and Stadium Series games, 14 NHL All-Star games, 8 Sports Emmy Awards for Outstanding Sports Personality Play-by-Play, 7 Halls of Fame, 6 Winter Olympic Games, and 100-plus different verbs used to describe a shot or pass. That's it's an incredible list.
Should turn into a Christmas song with all of those things. Just saying. But
and then they end it with Doc.
But he is a special person. Like, we can talk about how great of a broadcaster he is.
But why listen to us when you can listen to other folks talk about him? Here's first up is Tripp Tracy, Hurricanes color analyst, and host of his very own podcast, Digging In with Tripp.
Certainly somebody who knows a little something about broadcasting. He gets to dig in on it a lot. A little cross promotion as well for his podcast, our good friend and the color analyst for your Carolina Hurricanes and partner for me. And I will include Michael Smith on that. He is Tripp Tracy. Tripp, we appreciate you taking time. And Michael asked me, do we know anybody who can talk about Doc Emrick's retiring? And I'm like, well, we got to talk to a Michigan man about a Michigan man. That's just the way that it works. So first off, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Canes Cast. And second, first, all of this. How are you doing right now? How are you occupying your time getting ready to get back to a hockey season?
Well, partner, good to hear your voice. And Smitty, well, I wish I was back, digging in with you guys when you guys were nice enough to have me on Canes Cast in the spring. That was for me. That was quite a session. And God knows that the three of us, we've dug in together. I'm doing well. I'm just having a coffee. I'm looking across the lake right now at Windsor. You know, I never wished it would be, but this is my first fall here in Michigan since 1991, which was my senior year in high school before college, and then obviously moving on to playing and then in broadcasting. So I'm enjoying seeing what it's like for summer to turn to fall, and then infinitely more important than that, being with my mom, that I'll be grateful for these times forever. So it's getting chilly here, but I'm enjoying it. I wish I could be in front of your faces, but great to hear your voices.
Absolutely. And I bet the weather's gorgeous up there this time of year, pure Michigan. Love it up there. Tripper, we wanted to get your thoughts. Obviously, Doc Emrick announcing his retirement today from the sport. Just if you can, crystallize really what he meant to the sport of hockey with his play-by-play calls for so many years.
Boy, Smitty, yeah. Boy, that's practically impossible to, good word, crystallize. When you call so many, well, all the big moments, not so many, all the big moments for so many years, people feel a connection to your voice. They feel like they know you. And that's the type of connection that if you're the National Hockey League, you strive to have with your fans. You want to break down and crash through any barrier. I mean, for us in Carolina, you guys right now in the studio, you're overlooking the, what would be the ice surface, right? And that's what things like the Surge have done, is it's broken down that barrier. It's crashed through that barrier. And Doc Emrick's voice has done that in stellar fashion for the fan base, to grow the fan base for such a long time. The other couple of things I will always remember is his partnership with all of his analysts. He really put his analysts in a position to succeed. He played off of his analysts so well. You could always feel the admiration and the genuine love for Doc from whoever his analysts were. In particular, I'd say Eddie Olczyk. That will be the other thing that as an analyst that I certainly have always been struck by. And then the third thing is that Doc Emrick is one of those guys that every person within an organization, like if he saw you, either one of you, Mike's, or I saw it, the veteran PR relations and team services guru Mike Sonheim put out a very appropriate and accurate tweet this morning that Doc Emrick, any one of the teams in the National Hockey League, could come in for a morning skate. Of course, it's a huge game if he's there. And any person in any facet of the organization, he knew who you were. He knew your background. And he had an interest in learning more about you. And he was always total in his conversations whoever he was speaking to. And I can't help but compare that to And I pinch myself in the conversations I have to this day with Hall of Famer Scotty Bowman, that he would have the background on some squirt hockey player playing in Raleigh, you know, and that's pretty darn special. So those would be the things that, for me, crystallize his greatness.
Tripp, do you have a story, like maybe a personal one, a behind the scenes before a playoff game, or even maybe sharing a flight with Doc, anything like that that you could share with us here?
Partner, the first one was, I mean, this is before I knew him, but it would have been the spring of 96, my senior year at Harvard. And it was Masters Saturday. And my college teammates, one was my roommate, Jason Carmanis, longtime assistant GM in Carolina and now in Pittsburgh. Three or four other teammates, including a freshman that we hoped that we were bringing along, by Craig Adams. And we had a very festive afternoon because we had Doc Emmerich calling a game on one TV, and right next to it, we brought in another TV from another dorm room, and it was Jim Nantz calling the Masters. So those were two legends, and we certainly dug in that afternoon. That's before I knew him. But then when I got to know him, and for many years, he wasn't just the national voice, but he was also the voice of the New Jersey Devils, so would see Doc quite a bit. Hurricanes had a couple of good playoff series against New Jersey, where you really, you know, you get to know the guys on the other side that much better. But one particular flight, I want to say it was back from New York City, or might have been Raleigh, but Doc and I sat together on a flight back to Detroit, because he's from, you know, if I went right up the lake here and turns into the Detroit River that turns into the lake, and then when it finally hits Lake Huron, that's Port Huron, where Doc lives, about 60 miles north of here. But that plane, that flight back to Detroit, we talked about a ton of things. Whether it wasn't just hockey, it was it's a great state of pure Michigan. It was countless other categories and topics. But what struck me was that Doc he's all in on his conversations. He's total. He is more interested in asking and learning more about you than he is talking about himself. And his encyclopedia and elephant-like memory and total recall is just astounding. So that was a plane ride. I can't remember what the flight time was, but it felt like we were on the Concorde because it was so enjoyable that the wheels had touched down to Detroit much sooner than I wanted them to, because I probably could have enjoyed the conversation with a flight time to Sydney, Australia.
You know, a guy like Doc, a veteran of the business, what did he mean, you know, to maybe younger broadcasters coming up in the game, trying to find their footing? What did Doc, someone who is so approachable and so relatable, what did that mean for younger broadcasters coming up in the game?
You know, Smitty, I as a play-by-play guy, I probably have to defer that one to Mike Maniscalco. As I mentioned earlier, what he meant to me is I really loved how all the different analysts he had through the years, he always knew their strengths, and he could call a game that is the fastest one on the planet, but like a Gretzky, slow it down in the most beneficial, advantageous manner. And so as he's calling the locomotive pace of the National Hockey League, he would know who was sitting in the chair next to him, and whether it be on the fly during play where he'd involve his analyst, you know, he would know where to take the analyst. But then he'd absolutely react to what the analyst said in seamless fashion. Then he'd do the same things during whistles. Underrated sense of humor. I mean, really a pretty top-tier sense of humor that Doc has. You know, that would be, for me, how he's helped younger analysts like me. you know, I can tell you it was Doc and John Davidson that called the Hurricanes Game 7 Stanley Cup Final one, right?
Yep.
And John Davidson was doing the Rangers when I first started in the late 90s. And JD is really, as an, you know, again, being in the analyst seat, he's been a guy along with Harry Neal that have specifically helped, mentored me. Mickey Redman here in Detroit, who I've grown very close with. You know, and oftentimes, you know, when the Hurricanes have been in game sevens that we've called over the years, I will almost always make sure to talk to John Davidson, Harry Neal, Mickey Redman, the day of a game seven, just to see what their thoughts are. But Doc, I thought always made whoever his analyst was and were the best they could ever be. And then doesn't that sound like a great playmaker?
Yeah.
Great playmaker, knowing, you know, what kind of goal scorer you have, if he's going to be able to put the puck in the back of the net. Just, you know, there's different ways to put that puck in his wheelhouse, and Doc could put it in any wheelhouse right there, you know, in the stratosphere with regards to the quality of the pass.
Well, Tripp, thank you for taking some time. Thanks for digging in with us. And if you ever need podcast guests, Michael and I are probably more open than you'd think. So if somebody drops out in the last minute, we're always on speed dial for you, partner.
Well, we're going to do that then. We are absolutely going to do that. Boys, I love Pierre Michigan, but you know I've got Caroline on my mind. I can't wait to be back there with all of you. Plane rides. They're always fun. You know, the behind-the-scenes nestling. All the ages, just I miss you guys, and I can't wait to get back there and really enjoy this momentum that I think the Canes have, you know, moving into next season, and it's going to be a ball.
I agree with that. We miss you here, Tripper. It's great to hear your voice again, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Tripp Treacy.
Always good for Tripp taking the time.
We talked for about half an hour before we got to that interview. Maybe we'll record it all next time.
We should.
Yeah. Because it would have made, we could have just, that could have been the podcast.
We dug in is, before we dug in.
Right. That we could have just pressed record and then that would have been, we wouldn't have had to do all this.
And I will learn my numbers and order of things as well. First things first, but second first. But thirdly, let me get to this.
The letter of the day is
G.
Oh, for
good.
Oh, there we go. I was going to say D for Doc, but
that could work.
Yeah. Well,
or E for Emmerich.
Or M for Mike Sunheim, who is the Vice President of Communications and Team Services for the Hurricanes. And we talked to him about Mike Doc Emmerich to get his thoughts on the longtime broadcaster.
Well, making his second appearance on Canes Cast, we always appreciate it. The man who makes sure that we're always in the know, Mike Sunheim. And Mike, pretty big news out of the national ranks. And in your job for many years, for people who do not know, is to make sure that guys like Michael Smith and me and Doc Emmerich are ready to call a game and have access to information or players or interviews. I know that you have been in contact with hundreds upon hundreds of play-by-play guys on the local and national level. But if we asked you, what stands out about Doc Emmerich in your mind? What's the answer you give us?
Well, I guess it depends on whether you're asking me as a fan of the game or in the course of my job. As a fan of the game, you know, Doc has been the voice of our sport in the United States for quite a while now. And it's just an incredible talent with, you know, a crazy vocabulary where he brings in words that you just don't expect to see in sports play-by-play and, you know, has a way of making games exciting, even games you might not necessarily be emotionally invested in. So as a fan, that's what stands out. As someone who's worked with Doc, the biggest things that stand out is just how genuinely nice he is. You know, how he takes the time to talk to everybody. I was in an elevator once with Doc and my wife at the All-Star game in Columbus, and he started a conversation with my wife that led to us discovering that he went to high school with one of her uncles in LaFountain, Indiana, where he's from. So you know, and that's something that came up pretty much every time, you know, I ran into him. Just a crazy small world coincidence, and that's the kind of thing you find out when someone like Doc, who's, you know, a titan in the industry, is willing to get to know the wife of the PR guy.
Yeah, he's really amazing the way, you know, really genuinely gets to know everyone that he comes in contact with. Do you have, you know, other than, you know, having the conversation with him in an elevator in Columbus during the All-Star game, do you have a story maybe from that 06 run that stands out in your mind that kind of is the quintessential Doc that you'll remember?
I'm not sure I have anything, you know, from 06. Now I'm starting to get a little old. My brain cells and memories are disappearing. You know, I think, you know, for me, just any time Doc was in the building, you know, he knew that the game meant something, that this is a big game, that people were going to be watching, that the team had accomplished something to earn the right, that, you know, the best of the best was here to call our game and to say our players' names and to make things exciting for the people watching at home. So, you know, for me, you know, it was almost surreal sometimes working with Doc. Obviously, you know, back then it was different. He was also doing the Devils broadcast regularly along with the national broadcast. So we'd see him, you know, we were playing so many series against the Devils. We'd see him all the time. We saw him in, you know, 2001, 2002, 2006. You know, all those years we played the Devils in the playoffs, we'd see him either in his Devils role or in his national role. And, you know, it was just always such a pleasure to have him around, and, you know, so easy to want to do things to help him because he, you know, made you feel like you were just an old pal.
Mike Sundheim is joining us here on the Canescast, the Vice President of Communications and Team Services for the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm glad you said that because in your role, you know, you're not allowed to have a bad day. You know, people kind of take it out on you for things. But I know you do. You're only human. But when broadcasters at that level, and because you also deal with the Canadian side and all that, there's so many great voices over there. But when somebody who you're like, oh, this guy's not going to remember my name, when Doc Emrick would know your name or talk to you as a person, how much easier does that make your job where you're like, okay, I whatever this guy asks, I'll find a way to get it done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime you can develop a personal connection with somebody, you know, that makes all those things easier. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're lucky in our sport to work with a lot of people like that and people that recognize the roles that different people behind the scenes play. And Doc is definitely one of those people who recognizes, you know, a lot of different people behind the scenes in the sport with how they help the team and help the broadcast help him personally. So I think that, you know, it's almost impressive. I wish I had his ability to, you know, remember small details and, you know, intimate things and names and faces and everything else that he can remember because, you know, I think that's part of what made him so good at what he did.
Yep. I totally agree. 100%. I think we can all agree that we wish we had his recall ability and his at times vocabulary ability as well. One of the best, and involved in a lot of great moments for the Hurricanes as well. I mean, his calls during that 06 playoff run, especially Game 7, will forever live in Canes lore, and that's something we'll all remember. Mike Sundheim,
for sure.
Thanks for joining us again on Canescast.
Thanks, friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, friends.
Thank you.
And hope you appreciate that. Like, from what we try to do here today, you get an analyst who has become familiar with Mike Emmerich's work, with what Doc has done, and, you know, clearly Tripp and Doc have had their paths cross. And, of course, if people don't know, Doc lives in Michigan now, so that's why I said a Michigan man. But on the other side, the guys behind the scenes, you know, your dealings with this, and it's really funny because I could tell you from pretty much doing every job it feels like in broadcasting, there are some folks who you're like, oh, when the camera's on, wonderful. And when the camera's off, Mike Emmerich is as nice of a human being as you're going to find on this planet. He cares about you. If you talk to Doc Emmerich, he does not tell you things about him. He wants to know about you. He makes you feel important, and that is quite the skill to have. And he'll be missed because, as I've said, he is the voice of a generation of hockey fans in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, really when the NHL, shifted from ESPN to OLN and then Versus, and then now NBC Sports Network. From that moment forward, he was the voice of hockey on that network, on NBC. If there was a big hockey game, Doc was on play-by-play. And to have that voice that was synonymous for so many great hockey moments, so many great Hurricanes moments, especially in that 06 run, what a career it was for Doc. And as you said earlier, perhaps, some familiar names that could step into that role. But Doc was one of a kind and one of the greatest broadcasters, not only in hockey, but just in sports history.
Yeah, and remember, he was with Fox, too, with the glow puck and everything else that when Fox had the NHL. So he's covered a lot, man.
And his trip and Sonny mentioned, he did local broadcasts for the Devils for a number of years, too. So a lot of paths have crossed between, the Hurricanes and the Devils. Obviously, their rich playoff history, especially in the early 2000s. So a lot of interactions between Doc and the Hurricanes, and nothing but good things from both Tripp and Mike Sonheim.
Yeah, and you will be hard-pressed to find somebody with a hard word for Mike Emmerich. Really. Hockey is lucky, folks. The voices you get in hockey, I'm going to try to go in the Doc Emmerich word bag here. In other sports, there's a lot of homogenized voices. Everything kind of sounds the same, how they're called, what goes in, and look, there's a lot of great schools in this land of ours that are cranking out broadcasters, and they teach them to call the games the same. And that's fine. There's familiarity with it. But the NHL, more than any other sport, baseball used to have it, but now baseball, there's a lot of guys who start to, the call's the same, and it's a good call. There's not like, oh, it's better back then. But hockey is still the one place where there's so many unique voices in it. A voice that you'd listen to and you wouldn't necessarily think that sounds like a play-by-play voice, but it's right at home on a rink making those calls. And Doc's call, if you listen to it, especially early on, the vocabulary that he had, and then how the voice would go up an octave and then another octave.
You heard it in those highlights, when Cam Ward makes that save late in the third period and he's, oh, what a save by, this.
I mean, he could, when I use this term, he could growl, but it would be a high growl.
Oh, yeah,
Oh, what a save! Like, things like that. And things kind of, as somebody who is a huge fan of listening to games and broadcasters, clearly I am. It's what I wanted to do, and here we are. His call was so unique, and he could work those words in, especially when you were just getting into the game, and you're like, I just hear that word.
What's one of your favorites?
Oh man,
waffle boarded.
When he was the first one to say saucered that I remember.
Yeah,
I'm like, did he just say he saucered the pass across the ice? And then sauce comes off of that.
Yeah.
Nubbed is a good one. I saw that one on Twitter. Skittered is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Skitter's out of the zone. But the saucered was the first. I'd never heard that. Just to describe a pass, and then you're like, well, what did he do? Well, he did. He saucered it across the ice and set up the play. So, yeah, that's there. And just, oh, my. Not the Dick Enberg, oh, my, but the calls that he would have. He's one of the best ever. And if you're talking about hockey play-by-play voices, Canada has Bob Cole, and there's others before that. But for people who might be familiar or grow up, we're listening to this, Bob Cole is on that list. Doc Emmerich's on the list in the United States for a long, long run that those gentlemen had calling games, and we were fortunate enough to live in it. And I'm a little upset because there were some voices that I didn't get a chance to grow up listening to that were calling games. In my lifetime, though, the four people who called hockey games for the majority of my life in the cities that I lived in that had NHL hockey have been four of the best voices I've ever heard to call a game.
Yeah.
Fortunate to have that. And that's what I'm talking. And they were all unique in their own way. Nobody sounded the same. And that's what I love about this game. It's a unique game. It's the best to watch in person for my money.
Yes.
And then the calls that you get out of it are, for me, as legendary as any call that you get in any other sport.
Yeah.
Maybe more so.
Yeah, I agree.
Glad you do.
Yeah.
All right.
Seems like a good place to leave it. But before we get out of here,
yes,
we have to thank our friends at R&D Brewing for brewing the crispiest, most crushable, most delicious beverage in Raleigh.
I'm going to raise a storm brew to Doc Emmerich's career.
Cheers.
Absolutely.
97 calories, 2.4 carbs per serving. It's the perfect brew for all occasions, especially when you're toasting one of the best broadcasters in hockey history.
It's a light, refreshing lager that is actually good any time of the year, but it's crispy. And you can pick it up at any of your favorite grocery stores. If they don't have it, ask for it. Storm Brew by R&D Brewing. They'll have it, or maybe they'll have some of their other great products like Seven Saturdays, a delicious IPA, or, of course, the crispy Storm Brew. And the new can design as well.
New can design. Just look for the Hurricanes logo up top. It's a black can, red and gray stripes. It's pretty sharp. I like R&D Brewing's can design, especially they integrated some of it, too, with their seltzers, Isla Hard Seltzers. Check those out as well. Very tasty. R&D Brewing doing some good stuff, and we thank them for their support of CanesCast and their support of the Hurricanes.
And, of course, it's your last opportunity to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com for the person in your life who, you know, we can all use a little bit more help in the personal grooming department. Well, Manscaped is here to help you, all of you hockey fans. That's why they redesigned the electric trimmer. It's quite honestly the best trimmer that you're going to own.
Well, it should be when their engineers worked 18 painstaking months on it to make sure it is the gold standard, really, for male grooming and trimming. That's the Lawnmower 3.0. It's included in the Perfect Package 3.0. Just one of the many things you'll find on manscaped.com to help you with your below-the-waist grooming experience.
Hey, folks, I know what people are thinking, but for the holidays, you're thinking about a perfect gift?
Hey.
The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. That's waterproof. It's cordless. It's everything that you would need. Think about that, waterproof and cordless, where you can take that.
Yep.
Anywhere, plus a travel bag when we can finally go travel everywhere. Put all of your grooming needs in your travel bag and take it across the country with you. Take it on your trips. And all you have to do is order whatever product you want at manscaped.com. And right now, when you use the promo code CANES, that's C-A-N-E-S, promo code CANES, get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code CANES. You have to act now. You know, we said limited time offer. We mean it. Limited time. Act now. Don't delay. Promo code CANES, 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. This hockey season, upgrade your blue line and choose Manscaped for your most important male grooming needs.
Absolutely. And that will do it.
Thank you.
For this episode of CanesCast, episode 145, for the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.